Okay, I'm Shirley and I'm here as part of the Peterson Oral History Project, and the date is the 21st of September. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Michael Walway. I'm here being interviewed.
Okay, and it's lovely to meet you. So, do you mind me asking what your date of birth is?
29/7/53.
53, okay. And have you always lived in Grimsby, or...?
Yeah, well, I went away to Staffordshire for my job for a while.
Right.
But all the other times, lived in Grimsby, yeah, on the West Marsh.
Right, yeah.
Which is around this area.
So that's over the other side?
That way. Yeah, this is East Marsh.
Yeah, we're on the East Marsh, aren't we?
Wrong side of the railway lines.
Okay, so, and how, what's your connection with the docks?
Well, docks, you go back to my grandfather, that does.
Right.
So my grandfather came here from Manchester. I got him on a census in 1896 on a Grimsby trawler, but he came here from Manchester to, obviously, must have been worse in the mills than worse on the trawlers, I'll take it. And then my grandfather on my mother's side, he was a fisherman, and my brothers took fishing up. I tried, didn't like it. But I did work on the, you know, as a barrow boy on the dockside there when I was during school holidays and just after I left school. And then just, I'd come on the docks as and when necessary, in between jobs or something like that.
Yeah.
And Peterson's, that came up, one of my friends was working there. And a job, he said, yeah, let's come on. And I went in Peterson's doing that. Still got the scars on my thumbs and my fingers. Because putting the herrings on the racks, the bones are there. And they're sort of, it's not so bad now, but it used to be really bad. You can still see some of the scars.
Yeah.
And they've never healed because of the salt. So those are still there, that's still my part of that.
Yeah.
But it was a good laugh, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the smell was.
Did you start there straight from school then, or?
No, it was I think it was about 1972.
Right.
So I'd be 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in them days, you just, if you didn't fancy a job, or didn't like a job, or the job went, because I did building work as well, you just went to the next place.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, from there, I worked in the rope works down off Convermore Road.
Oh, yeah.
Making twine. And you just did it round the town. You know, the barrow boy was the eyes at 14 trying to pull them barrows around. Have you seen them, have you?
No, I haven't. I've heard about them.
Oh, you see them on the, what's that, vegetable market in London?
Uh-huh.
They've got them big barrows, haven't they?
Yes.
Oh, that's the size of them.
Wow.
And then they put the kits of fish on them.
Yeah.
And you've seen them, the boxes, haven't you?
Yes.
But they put a lot of them on. And no matter what age it was, if you couldn't do the job, you couldn't do the job. And the most dangerous part was them two ramps. You've seen them out there, haven't you, like that?
Yeah.
Where you have to go down one and up the other. Now you've got to really start running. And there used to be a police officer stood there to make sure it's safe for you to go across. And if you was lucky, there'd be some other fish merchants down the bottom there to get you up, push up. But if you didn't make it first time, that was it. You were stuffed. Yeah, you just call the labour down and make sure you didn't slip as well.
Yeah.
Because that had run you over. But as a 14-year-old lad, you just had to do it. Yeah, but they're well balanced. You're very good.
Yeah, but they didn't have sides on them, did they?
No, and there's metal boxes.
Yeah.
Because we fish exchange, it was, well, aluminium boxes, so they're very slippery. The easiest bit was taking them when they packed the fish into the wooden boxes. That was another job.
So did you ever have a time where you did that and it fell off?
Oh, yeah, well then you had to just pick it because there was no real hygiene. You know, it fell on the floor, you just put it back in the box. Because most of the time you're pulling them, they haven't been filleted yet. So you're bringing them from the market to, because it's usually ale and whites, which is around the pontoon on the corner there, where my brother worked there, and he got me going into there.
Ale and whites.
Yeah. It was around, just you went round the bend, it was just there near the cafe. That cafe was a nice cafe, that big one over the back there. Can't remember. I don't remember the name of them though.
No.
Because you look forward to it, the smell, when you went in there and you'd always had a, because I didn't always take sugar, but you go in there, you had a sweet cup of mug of tea like that and a sandwich. Right, and on a cold morning, you really enjoyed it.
Yes, I bet.
Oh, yeah, you didn't bother about the smell then?
No.
Then just wash your hands in whatever water there was.
It's very cold down here, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, they never heated, like, you always just get me with, because I have the filters. I used to, bathe and everything like that, but if the hands got cold, they'd put them in the cold water. Because the cold water was warmer than the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they did it, yeah.
Gosh.
No hot water from.
No.
I think, and when you swirled at night, you just got those big taps all the way down. You couldn't drink out of it because it wasn't safe.
No.
That's how they swirled down. That was just, I think that was some kind of salt water or something. I never tried it, but I was told not to touch it.
So, can you remember your first day at Peterson's? What did you do?
Well, you just went in and they just showed you what to do, because it wasn't really hard work or didn't take your brains much. Because when you went in, you know, I try to remember it. You went through the main door, and then to the left was your brine bins, and beyond the brine bins was the machines. And you put your fish in, and it take the heads off and cut them open, and then they'd come down, and we'd get a box full, chuck them in the brine, leave them for a while. Then there was another machine, which is a boning machine, because we had boneless skippers as well.
Right.
And that was a joke. Might as well get the normal ones, that were, yeah, we got them free anyway. And then what we did then, we just waited on the brine, and we'd say we'd have the, I don't know what they called them, but there was just pieces of wood, you know, like you've seen that, the
smoke
thing.
Oh yes,
smoke,
yes, I've seen the chimney.
In them, yeah. And then we just put the fish on there,
yeah,
and we'd get stacked up somewhere. Then later on, the boat came in later to put them up the chimney, because, you know, well, you're not going up there, that's a specialist job. Yeah, right. Because you're going up there, it's dipping down on you. Want to be up there anyway. Yeah, and we just do that, and there'd be other stuff, you know, like sometimes get some haddock in, you know, smoke the haddock, which mostly kippers in, and bloaters. Never did the bloaters. I don't know where you got the bloaters from, because those used to be stacked outside, they did.
Right.
But don't know where he did them. Well, they weren't in that place, but it wasn't a very big place, you know. And around the corner was the cafe for that one, and like I say, they made work there. It was just one of those things. You just took a job on because the money wasn't that much, but it was a bit more than the dole.
Right.
I can't remember what it was. I always say it was something like £4.50 on the dole and about £6.50 down the dock. So, right. But in them days, 72, £2 was a lot of money.
Yes.
A couple of lot of money. Yeah, you could go out for that. You know, you'll say, I'd go out for 10 bob and all that. But you could, yeah, go out for a couple of quid. You could have a good night out. You know, I didn't bother fish and chips, it was always too late because we were going to the nightclub.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we just meet people that we knew as fishermen. Like my brother, if he came in dock, you know, we'd never pay for anything then.
Mm.
He led me astray, he did. I was supposed to be at school and I was out at the pub with him.
Well, they were well paid, weren't they?
Well.
The fishermen.
Yeah, you could think it was. There was, yeah, it's hard to say really, because you only saw it when there was well paid.
Right.
But I've been at home and they've landed in debt.
Oh.
Which is the trawler haven't made enough money because they was the last to be paid.
Mm.
The owners, the running costs and everything like that, and the skipper.
Mm.
Well, no, the skipper was sort of the men as well. But all everything else went first. Then it was the men.
Mm.
Then they had food money out of it while I was away. And many a time, my brother and my dad, they've landed in debt. Yeah, they still get a weekly wage. Well, it's about £10 a week, I think.
Yeah.
It was good. I remember a bloke that used to, well, a registered letter used to come. And my mum used to get that every week. So they got a wage. But that was taken off the settling money as well.
Yeah.
So they got it for nothing.
The wives used to come down on a Friday, didn't they, to get their pay?
Some did. My mum never did. Like I said, they used to deliver it to the house on the registered envelope.
Right.
Yeah, that's how much £10 was worth in them days,
yeah,
in the 60s.
Yeah. Wow.
Registered envelope. Yeah, some trawler firms did that, just when they worked for.
Yeah.
I think Ross's, because it depends on how many blokes they had. Like my uncle, he worked for Boston's. I think my Auntie Doris used to come down to get air money. But they never come down dock otherwise.
No.
You know, that was it. Couldn't come out to see him off, not allowed to.
No.
Or see him in.
No.
I did that a few times.
All right.
The dock gates there, not the Royal Docks, the fish dock gates. You know, jumping from there onto the trawler.
Yeah.
You know, me brothers.
Yeah.
By then, when they're coming in, they were having a can or two. So I used to jump on there and with him. And same when he came in, he's coming on, he came one of the stern trawlers. Well, he got stuck in the middle of the dock. And I was supposed to be meeting somebody. Oh, well. That's the, you know, there was no mobile phones in them days, so you couldn't let them know. It was, yeah, I think it was my mates, I was supposed to be drinking with them. I think it was Saturday, something like that. Yeah. Well, they say there's lots of things happened on the docks, but no one knew. If you ask somebody where such and such a road, like fish, everyone knew Fish Dock Road.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, oh, there's a job, yeah, where's it at? They won't give you an address. They just, well, they might give you an address, but no one knew it. They just give you a name.
Right, yeah.
So you see the copper at the gate, because it was police then, they was always there. Say, where's such, go down the road there, second right, down that alley there.
Yeah.
Or up just down the pontoon or on Newmoney or something like that.
Yeah.
They'd tell you where it was, but no one knew. You know, like, say, where's Warncliffe? I don't know, where, is it Warncliffe Road we've got on here?
Yeah, Warncliffe Road.
Yeah, I don't know where it was, and nobody else would. Yeah,
no.
Just didn't know, just go by where the names of the companies.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's just about how it worked. Because the police knew everybody. And then in them days,
yeah,
you could get some fish off off your boss to take home, but he had to give you a chitty, as they called it.
Mm.
And if you didn't have that and the police stopped you and they caught you, that was it.
Mm.
You was done.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no taking fish off here without permission. And it's they got a few people got caught.
What would happen to them?
So they'd have to maybe go to court or they might get away with it.
Right.
You get fined a couple of shillings. But in them days, everything went to court.
Yeah.
You know, if you was caught, yeah. It's because it was easier to get on the docks then than it is now.
Yeah.
Because me daughter and her husband, well, her husband comes from, where do you come from? He don't come from around here anyway, but they live up in north of Skipton. And they came down to see us in July on a Sunday. He said, I'll actually man the docks. So I said, I'll see if I can get you one. I said, but park your car out of the way and get in my car. So I got to the gate and, oh, where are you going? Oh. And I don't know what my son-in-law must have thought of me. So I'm going to Yearsley's. What for? I'm going to see someone like a driving job. Oh, right, yeah. I've got your ID. I said, what? Your driving licence. Deek. No, I'm going to see about a driving job. He says, right, go on then, let you go. And he went, I said, really want to be down here, but I really couldn't turn left because I'd be watching out on the cameras and that lot, seeing where I was. So I took him further up down where the slips were. But, you know, like today, they wanted to know where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, but they've got cafes here, you know. And
I know.
Well, why are they stopping people? They want us to see it.
Yeah.
And there's got these workshops, haven't they, as well?
That's right.
Yeah, well, yeah, back to where I was. I'm trying to think what happened when I was on the docks. Just what I've told you, really. As a youth and that lot. And I say, Peterson's, I was just, my mate said, because I went with him. Because I don't have time. I think we started about 7:30.
Okay.
No one ever... You know, England, being them days, there was two roads, and that was the A46 to Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
and the A17 to Lap, and that was it. But that's why I always call this place a large village, as a small town, because everyone knows everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but I moved away for a bit, so I got to not know to so many people. But yeah, you can really, everyone, you know, families intermarried with each,
yes.
around the town.
Yes.
Well, usually West Marsh stayed together, and the East Marsh stayed together. They meet down the pubs down Freeman Street because that's where most of them were when they've landed and that lot. They always said, oh, there's a Wesley coming in. That's a bloke coming in on his stroller.
Right.
Because they've been to the ship for a couple of days or something like that and they've been out of work. Yeah, there's a Wesley coming in.
Oh.
And they get a couple of bob off him.
Yeah.
You know, it's all needed. So everyone used to, when they've settled up, because they all settled in cash. You know, didn't win the bank. Then
no.
They'd go with all this money in the pockets.
Yeah.
And very rare that they got jumped on, or they used to find them days rolled.
Yeah.
That was very rare it happened. And they'd go down there with all this cash in their pocket.
Yeah.
And especially the taxi driver, they'd look after him. You know, they'd keep an eye on him and say, oh, get your money here. And they know he's got it.
Yeah.
Even though they're out the tree, they still get the money back. And they all bought the suits. But that's when they had a good trip. It's when they had a bad trip. Like I said, 3-day millionaires.
Yeah.
But first I heard about that was when they made the film. They used to call
them
that. So then again, they might have called them that on the West East Marsh, because the West Marsh, I think, they looked at that as a bit, it was a bit newer area.
Yeah.
But this was the really old area, the East Marsh.
Yes.
And the West Marsh was, well, I've got maps from 1926, and most of the houses where I lived in Boulevard Avenue weren't even built.
No.
So,
no,
you know, when there's a train line came through there to the mill,
you
know, the paper mill, that's the first job we had when I left school. Yeah, your dad used to, when he was going away, Coxon's taxi's still there. Well, you remember that, when he was going away, he'd be there and his mates on the same, you know, trawler, they'd come round to see him, he'd send me, when I was about 12 and 13 or something like that, to the off-licence to get his rum. And they still sell you it.
Yeah.
go on, it's for your dad, yeah. Go on then, take that.
How times have changed.
Oh, haven't they just? they're on that. They always said, you know, that the fishermen was always drunk. Well, they might get one or two, but I think most of them was dry ships. when sailing out, they'd get a couple of cans, and when they're coming back, they'd have a bit. But most of the time,
yeah,
it was dry ships, so the skipper wouldn't have it. You know.
No. Do you remember any of the superstitions around fishing?
Yeah. My dad wouldn't let us wear green on sailing day.
Uh-huh.
In fact, yeah, that was on sailing day, because my mum knitted me a green jumper, I couldn't wear it when he sailed, and they would never allow anything to do with owls in the house.
Owls?
Owls. I've never had no idea. Oh. That was one of my mother's. I don't know whether there's others, but my mum said, no owls in the house.
Oh.
You know, no pictures of nothing like that.
Wow.
And she never explained why, but that's my mother.
Not heard that one.
Yeah. That's the only two positions my mum had, as I remember. Well, you wouldn't let women down when they're sailing, neither.
No.
I could go down, but anyone else could. But no one else could. But yeah, that was the only two superstitions my mum had, and that's the only one I can remember. Which is a bit, you know, they say that's a strange one. And the green, I've no idea what the green had to do with anything.
No.
No idea at all, but we just said, you're right. You just got on with it. Didn't bother. You know, just got on with life. And lots of people we know as fishermen, and see a lot, that's the problem now, they've all died though.
Mm.
Yeah, my older brother, my younger brother, he did it as well, so, and he's what? He'll be 60 odd, you know, yeah, towards late 60s, so they're all getting on a bit, and he's one of the younger ones, you know, before, you know, it's heyday, and, you know, when we had a fishing fleet, before we joined Europe, you know, and that's when it was really full, the North Wall, you know.
Yeah.
You could walk from ship to ship.
Yes.
And Scrobs, as we call it, Scrobs Corner. Oh, the same net. Oh, that's where the Danes landed.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's where the nickname was for the Danes.
Right.
We called them Scrobs. Well, I don't even know what Scrob means.
No.
That's what we call it. Might be a Danish word
for it.
Yes. For all I know. But it's usually an insult anyway. And the ours was out near Ross House for our same netters, pier trawlers and that lot.
Yeah.
That, Scrobs Corner, because they used to go in Freeman Street, but the first one they was with it went to. I always got these mixed up with Cairns and Cotties. The first bow on the right, I think it's Cotties. And Cairns was further down. And that's where they usually went in, there.
Right.
There wouldn't be any fights, nothing like that. They'd meet the Grindley fishermen in there.
Yeah.
The most chance you've got of a fight is when the Hull fishermen got together. Hull fishermen and the Grindley fishermen. That's where you're bound to get the fights. Because my dad used to say, I don't think they ever did it, that when they're coming out the lock gates, and there's a Hull trawler going that way, they'd aim straight for them to try and get them to turn away and get grounded. Because most of theirs was grey and white, and ours was black and white.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a lot of competition that way. Yeah, she was still the biggest. I didn't like that neither.
No.
Oh, no.
And, so you worked, no, you lived over on the West Marsh?
West Marsh, Boulevard Avenue, yeah.
So how did you get to the docks? Did you cycle, walk?
Bike or the number 7 stopped outside my mum's house, and it stopped at Rivey Square so you could get the bus.
Oh, yeah.
If I wanted to, or yeah, I'd use my scooter, my Lambretta, to get down here when I was 18. When I was young, it'd have to be the bus or the bike.
Yeah.
You know, when I didn't have one. But so it was easy to get here. No hardship for anybody really, because, well, the town wasn't as big as it is now.
No.
So you were having Boulevard Avenue, beyond us was fields, and then the village of Greatcoats,
yeah.
There's no Wybers, wood, willows,
no.
Nothing. And like I say, that not much this way. And well, none so bad being built in the 30s, I think, 30s to 50s.
Mm. Mm.
So nowhere was really far away, and everywhere buses always ended up somewhere near here.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the majority of the workforce would be round this area, wouldn't it, the East Marsh?
Yes. Yes, there would be a lot. Not majority, though, I'd have thought. It's spread around the town quite well.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, like, I know there's a lot of factories, but you didn't always get onto them. You'd always get into them. But I think the women wise, you'd get more of them from there. You know, they're waiting in the factories and stuff like that. You still got some from around out my way, waiting. And a lot of them did nets as well at home. You know, they'd get the twine delivered for making nets for Cosalt. And they did that work at home.
Was there anywhere on the docks where they did the net making?
Net making.
Was it all just at homes?
I'm not sure where they made it on the docks. I think at one time they made them at the ropery down off Convermore Road there.
Right.
You know, where they ended up making nylon fishing blinds as well. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure the coat of, I think in the shops, they did. I think they did add a net room up there.
Right.
But then, yeah, obviously knocked it all down now. The best part, you know, the really big one with the canopy and everything like that, that's all gone. I'm sure there was a net factory up there, because they ended up doing life rafts up there in the end. Coach Holt did. Because they brought out the first, going on top of the nets, like a boy.
Oh, yes.
The nets and all that lot. They brought one out and sold it worldwide, that. I just remember seeing an advert for that in one of these old papers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were all over the place and didn't realise it was so big.
Yeah.
But I was up in Scotland somewhere, in northern Scotland, and there was a shop there for them.
Gosh. And,
yeah, that's
all
the place, yeah.
Yeah. So, what about social life? On the docks? So, social areas?
So, socially, it was mainly the cafes.
Right.
That was it.
And there were many cafes, were there?
Oh, yeah, there was quite a few. There's, you know, because they're not far to walk from where you was working. You know, yeah. There was a big, the name of it, there was a big white one on the, where the roundabout is.
Okay.
Just near where that is, on the rail side. There was one further along down there. Further down there was one near the slips, a big black thing I think I remember. Then down Fish Dock Road here, there was three or four down here. So there's plenty of cafes, and a couple down here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of cafes where they just, you know, because it'd start early.
Mm.
And they'd have a break maybe about 8 o'clock or seven, something like that. Because there's not a lot of way. The auctions has been going on, been collecting all the fish, because all that, you know, because you had seen them little pieces of paper where they used to, you know, stick like that and just chuck them onto the top of the thing, so they knew where there was. They used to put more than one on because they knew someone might take it off and take that fish. So they put a load on. But yeah, there's that. Because there was a bar called TC's, but I think that was after the fishing finished, because it was something else before then, which was just... So we'll look where Peterson's
is. Yeah, it was like a social club, wasn't it?
Yeah.
TC's.
Yeah, to come out where Peterson's was and turn left. It was on the left there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't think that opened till, you know, the late on times.
Right.
You know, but the Oberon, which is now, it's on King Edward Street there, just under the flyover. That used to open at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, like the dockers on the dock side or blokes that have been working here.
Mm.
So finishing work and go for a pint on the way home.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, that used to be a regular, that did.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time was like, well, it was all clubs and pubs.
Yeah.
They used to use the clubs a lot because the clubs used to be cheaper than the pubs.
Oh, right.
But then they also, they could finish the pubs at 3 o'clock and then go to the clubs till the pubs are open again. That's what used to happen. Oh, yeah, there's a couple down there, and down Corporation Road there was two or three. Frontiersman, that's been knocked down, that was off Lord Street. There's clubs all over the town, tons of them, but there's not so many left now.
Yeah.
They've all just sort of gone by the way. Because look, the younger ones don't like bother them so much.
No.
Like we was, you know, we used to get to them. Because everyone can drink all the time.
Yeah.
So they don't bother so much. Yeah. You don't get the outings and that. Yeah, but that was the most social, because most of your pubs was full.
Oh, that's right, yes, they used to do outings, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they do outings. With kids and everything.
Was he in the Haynton?
The Haynton Club, yeah, that's still going.
Right.
Yeah, that's down over there. Yeah. Yeah, it's East Match place again, but I never went to it. I've been in it a couple of times, played dominoes, but never bothered with it, because never came to the side. Then you have factories that have their own social clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the last one that I've seen is Seabers, which is now Novartis.
Mm-hmm.
That's still there, the club, but it's not used as the club anymore. We used to rent, the family used to, you know, rent it for the night for the family Christmas party, because there was a lot of us. There was 10 of us plus parents.
Right.
So, you know, then the start, and then you got the, as they grew up, then they had their own kids, so it ended up quite a lot of, there's a lot of us around, you know, a lot. Keep still going as well.
Yeah.
We've lost two. The oldest one, Brian. He went a while ago, then my sister, she had a stroke, she lived in Belgium. And that's it, there's still eight of us left.
Yeah.
And they're well in their 80s. Well, we had my brother-in-law, his 90th birthday was last year, but he came from London, Wales. Well, I don't know about that.
So do they still live in the area?
Yeah, most of them do. Well, one brother, he went into the Navy, he did his full time in the Navy, but he lives in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister went moved to Belgium because her husband was a fisherman out of Ostend. And got, yeah, the rest of them lived like, say, Immingham, the Barra, Grimsby, yeah, around here.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of them live around. I mean, nephews and nieces, a lot of them live around here still. Some of them moved away, well, not so many.
Yeah.
Born and bred, you know. And so Walwick, if you see a Walwick name, it's our family.
Right.
It's the only ones there is.
And do you still keep up with maybe people that you worked with at Peterson's?
Oh, Terry, he died, Terry Tidswell. He was doing a food thing at one time. That's who I went with there. And I can't remember who else was there now. Just knew him because I used to hang around with him anyway.
Mm.
You know, when you know, for a drink and stuff like this.
Mm.
You know, when we used to go out together and that lot, with all the rest of the mob. But now, people from school I still see. You know, they're all still around the town.
Yeah.
Some have moved away.
Yeah.
And some just sort of just drifted off and you don't see them anymore.
Did most of them go into work on the docks? Different.
No, no. They went, a few of them got apprenticeships.
Right.
And because, yeah, the wages they was on was, you know, it was only about £2 a week when I was on. I know I want a lot more, but it seems a lot more than
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
You know, they were on next to nothing. There was a proper apprentices.
Yeah.
Then some went in the main factories, you know, down the bank.
Yeah.
And got apprenticeships there. But I started at the mill, but I won't bother about that. You know, because my brothers were there. And when you left school, you had two choices from the West Marsh and the East Marsh.
Mm.
You had two choices: either the mill, well, the mill not for this lot, not for the East Marsh.
Yeah.
Or fishing, or the docks. They said, you know, you don't need O levels, nothing like that. It was from the posher areas like Scatham and places like that.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was junior school in 64, and that's when they closed Armstrong School.
Right.
And opened Hereford.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, in there, that was a bit of a culture clash for the people from Scather, and that lot. They was coming to meet people from the West Marsh area, and it's, you know, we wasn't posh. And they seemed to think there was. And the teachers, they come in there with all the good intentions, and it didn't work. You got the teachers from Armstrong, you know, they were just get older and give a good whack, and because they walked around in big black gowns still.
Mm.
Oh, aye, there's no mess about that, especially Crowe. I always look at it this way. Most of the older teachers in them days was suffering from post-traumatic stress, because most of them had been in the war.
Yes.
The older teachers.
Yeah,
my housemaster, he had a broken back from jumping out of the plane at Arnhem.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know about it, but thinking back now, the way they behaved, they've been through the war.
Yeah.
You know, soldiers and that lot. Post-traumatic stress, that's what they were suffering from. But it was nothing there, was there? Wasn't recognised.
No.
And, you know, I've seen Mr. Crowe, he chucked people through luckily the window was open, and he never looked. Because luckily there's a ground floor on it, for some of it was, and his classroom was on the ground floor, and he's got all the kids, he's got all of them, just chucking through the window like that. And he didn't chuck chalk at you. He chucked a board rubber.
Oh, no. Yes.
It's Mary was.
I remember that well.
But they didn't do me any harm.
No.
But the teachers from Scatter area, you know, there was sort of young and you will do this and that. They gave up in the end. They got as bad as the rest of them. Plus, see, Armstrong used to be, there wasn't one to mix school. So those that had been there and hadn't quite left school went to Hereford. Well, they got mixed.
Yeah.
They weren't used to it.
No.
So that was another shock for some people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a few people around. So. But say, not many people that I knew from that area came on the dock. We all went somewhere else. Mm. See, like I joined the Fire Brigade in 74. So, you know, that's my career going up there then.
Mm.
So fishing, if not, I'd probably come back on the dock. So brother, he was a fisherman, but in the end, he spent 26 years at Young's, ending up as a manager.
Mm.
You know, that was the one up from me.
Mm.
Some cop, police, you know, some court holds and places like that. We all tried fishing, but
yeah,
not for me.
No,
I think I couldn't be doing that all day. I was only in the North Sea. I wasn't even up at Iceland and Newfoundland. And their places.
No.
You know, so I've seen pictures of the ice on the masts. And so they started putting tracers in to melt it.
Oh, right.
So it worked, well, not brilliantly. Yeah, and if they didn't chop it off, you went off it.
Oh, So cold.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And there's then the cod wars as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one in 76, but I think there was one before that as well. We had two cod wars.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been in some of the buildings, and they weren't really pleasant places, were they?
Well, put it this way, was life in them days pleasant anyway?
No.
Yeah, you were brought up poor. Yeah, your mother made your house as best as she could.
Yeah.
You were brought up. Yeah, we had no money. So you know, to that, yeah, it's not posh going in them.
No.
But it's not like your house.
No.
But you're not sort of, you know, well, I'm not going in there. Look at that. Yeah, you just got in. Go on with your life. Once I mammy pammy about you, I'll just get on with life. You know, if it's mucky, it's mucky. So what?
I can't imagine young people wanting to do that now.
I can't. If they walked into Peterson's, when I walked into Peterson's, especially looking at the smoke thing, you're thick black. I'm never eating a kipper in my life again. Tell you what, it's like a teapot. You clean that, you won't get the flavour.
Do you like fish? Do you like fish?
The problem is I like it quite a lot. But the wife will eat it, but she's not as keen as it as I am, like, especially smoked fish.
Mm.
I have to do that in the morning, with all the doors and everything open, and sort of get rid of it all.
Is it kippers for breakfast?
I'm not keen on kippers, usually smoked haddock.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's what I have. Because if you see a bag, I'll get one, but end of it, I looked on Saturday, that was expensive, that, what he was selling it for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not soup, yeah, like yellow stuff, I'll eat it on a push, if I'm given it. But usually I like the natural stuff.
Yeah.
Natural smoked. Now, kippers, there's too many bones, I can't be doing with it. Yeah, even though they're boneless, not for me. Same as, I'll eat mackerel, tin mackerel and stuff like that, but then you get sardines, you open them, they've got all bones in. I thought, oh, I'm done this, scraping off, because I've got a thing about bones, like my dad used to say, when we'd get skate, what's up with that? What? I'll scrape the fish off the bones. Yeah, you eat the bones as well. The soft bones.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Same as salmon, I have to get the bone out of the salmon as well. I said, that's probably a fit. So I don't eat skate, I'll eat salmon.
Yeah.
But, well, especially the fresh salmon, because I'll go buy a side of salmon.
Yeah.
Freeze that.
Yeah.
Oh, I eat loads of fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Love the stuff.
What's your favourite recipe? How would you, you know, what's your favourite way of eating fish?
Well, I usually do it fried.
Fried fish.
You know, or baked.
Yeah.
Or, you know, salmon I'll do... Put something on it, you know, a salad. The smoked haddock, I'll boil that. I'll put it in hot water and microwave it because it's a quicker way to do it.
Mm.
Don't fry that. I'll fry it or, you know, bake it or whatever. I don't do fancy things with fish. That's it. And cod, the only good thing good about cod is to make fish cakes. You don't fry cod. Apart from the cheeks. Cheeks and tongues.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the only one that really had half of them. Like the tongues. They're a bit chewier. So it didn't bother me, but the cheeks, but they've gone stupid price. They were more or less given away at one time.
Yeah, I thought they were sort of a cheap, if you didn't have much money, you'd go and buy some cod cheeks.
You look at the price now, because it's pure fish, and it's no worms in it.
Oh, right.
Because, you know, it's obviously the cheeks.
Yeah.
Like a fish, like a pig's chap, you know, when you get them.
Yeah.
But that made me, when I first went to sea, because although I come from a fishing family, my dad would come in dock, he'd bring his sea bass home, you know, with fish, some fries for the neighbours, and some for us, and Mam had it, that's going in the pan to boil, not frying that. Maybe some fresh cod roe, she'd boil that up.
Mm.
Loved that one. Mm. It was lovely. And then the addict, she'd, you know, because I think Mam got a fridge about the late 60s, so she had a pantry, so it kept fresh for so long, but not too long. And she'd always, never battered it, always floured it.
Yeah.
You know, and... that's what my mum did. I was my train there. Yes. Yeah, everything's to me for the fish. You ruin the taste if you start going silly with it.
Yeah.
Anything more than flour, yeah, you have to buy it from the fish shop, battered. But some places do it nice, some don't. But yeah, just a bit of fish put in a pan, even without flour on, you get the right flavour.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the right fish, that is. Like, that was it. That's what amazed me. When I first went fishing, you know, come from a fishing family, you used to, you know, you get your cod about that size, and you caught about that size, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the other. And the first time I went, they put this fish, I said, what's that? So it's a cod. About that big. Oh. Massive thing.
Yeah.
I says, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, you gut it. Well, how do I hold it to gut it then? Idiot. He says, well, poke his eyes out. Oh, yeah, right. No, like this one. So he had to hold it in his eyes.
No.
Then down the thing, off you go. I say that big, but to me it might have seemed that big, but it was big.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd never seen something that big before. Wow. Yeah, you had to put it in the eyes. Otherwise it slips away. Well, you better get it into the gills and bring it down the stomach. And come bring it all up like that, then overboard. That was it.
Yeah.
Didn't like fishing.
No.
And I was on the deck, and they said, look out, I said, what? And I've nearly got, was it a monkfish? It's got a big mouth like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was ready to get me in my boots. I said that I'd gone through them, and it wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I'll watch that next time. Yeah, don't sit on them. But I was standing the first time I went, I was 3 days laid up. You know, just,
yeah.
I was always in the Humber. As soon as I got into the North Sea, that was it. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But after that, I was all right.
Yeah.
Because first went to when I got back, I said, right, come on then, are we starting fishing today? And says, what? Yeah, well, I'm fishing. Look outside. So I opened the hatch, looked at that, and I could see the swell above the
above you.
Above my eye. I says, no, we're not fishing then.
When you were at Peterson's, you know the wood... at the bottom of the chimneys.
The chimneys.
Where did that? Yeah, the chippings. Where did that come from? You know.
Quite honestly, it just appeared. I'm not sure what they used, but I reckon they got a lot of it from the box makers, because you have Faulkner's down Chapman Street.
Faulkner's. Right.
Then you had another one somewhere else. I think they have the Ness. Not sure if the one down Railway Street. They made all the boxes because no. All the styrene boxes, all the wood boxes.
Wood boxes, yeah.
So maybe they got the sawdust from there. So, but I don't think there's anything, just, you know, like these days, all oak smoked and beech smoked. I don't think they don't like that. And
no.
Just sawdust.
Just sawdust.
And some shavings.
Yeah.
And there used to be a bloke work all night, or you'd go home and then come back every hour or so to just check them all and get them going again.
Mm.
Yeah, because I remember, just as we was leaving, he'd be setting it all up, because the things had been filled up. You know, we had to pass everything to everybody and... And he'd come in with his, get all his sawdust sorted out and get it lit, get it going.
And then they smoked overnight, did they?
Yeah, smoked overnight, yeah. Yeah, no, not 1 or 2 hours.
Mm.
It's a full smoke. Don't know what they do these days, whether they do that still. But I don't think there's anything special about the chippings.
No.
The sawdust. And I think that must have been worth, because there's that much timber used to get the wooden boxes.
Mm.
Why go out? No, who went out of town? Nobody did. If you worked out of town, well, put it this way, if you worked in again, on the docks, you've been out of town working, is that overnight? Yeah, it's an unusual thing for people to be working out of town in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, it's so close, yeah, there's just, why move out of the town?
Yeah.
When all the work was here, it needed everything. Like Corporation Road, why go down Freeman Street when you've got Corporation Road? That was as many shops, if not more, than Freeman Street, just another market.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you get anything down there, then you all your corner shops.
Mm.
Now, what about, haven't you? You had Lister Street, you had shops on each corner, then Lord Street, shops all the way all over the place.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Yeah, there was all over there, you know, chip shops and everything. So you didn't need to go anywhere.
No.
That's why we never very rarely came over to Freeman Street, and then only with Mum.
All the little convenience shops, really, weren't they?
Yeah, there was no...
Sold everything.
Yeah, Freeman Street was no cheaper than them.
No.
You know, not, so it was Mrs. Hobson's. She was down Lister Street. Fielder's the butcher, Dakins, and there was Hancock's, the newsagent. I had paper rounds there, 2 paper rounds I had. Mm-hmm. You know. Dakins, who else was down there? Oh, can't remember any of the other woman. I knew there was a grandson as well. I used to go out with him, Just a different name. But that was just down there then, in Law Street. You had Plants, Christine Plant's parents. Don't know Christine Plant, do you? Heard of her?
No.
She got an MBA or something like that, because she does scouts and guides and stuff.
All right.
Yeah, she probably someone knows her. The vegetable shop, and you know, Birkett's Butchers. Not the same Birkett as the one down Cromwell Road and Ennis Road, a different, must have been the same family.
Mm.
Then you had more further up, you had Law Street Bakery, thought that was nice. Nice buns there.
Mm.
And right, down with another thing that you don't hear anywhere else as well, down bottom of Lister Street. Just on the right there, there was a little shop, but next to it was a Tock H. And we used to go there because, well, you get there and you get a cup of tea and something to eat. for nothing. Really? It was kids, yeah, well, go there, get some biscuits. Yeah, Tokay, T-O-C with a H.
Yeah.
It's a religious thing, I think, from the First World War.
Oh.
Supporting soldiers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And their thing was like, you know, that Aladdin's lamp?
Yeah.
Their sign was that.
Oh, right.
The meeting hall there.
Yes.
The old wooden inside, all these lot. You know, and I don't know where else there was, but it's the only one I've ever seen. So if you Google Tokay, T-O-C with a H, and you'll see what there's about.
Yeah.
It's interesting looking at things like that. You don't think about it. All we thought about was freebies. Got no biscuits at home, go down there, get a drink.
Yeah, what a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's been so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Good, I'm glad you're...
I've
only got a certain amount of knowledge and...
Yeah, but you've got a wider knowledge.
A wider knowledge,
and that's really interesting.
You've got some about the town as well, bits.
Yes, yes.
There you go. So we'll try our best.
Thank you so much
for coming in
and spending time with us.
Yeah, she needs to be, because she's got an email address anyway, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.